I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Ebebefe hanging with you guys this Thursday afternoon. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Blue Jays' win last night over the Dodgers. Toronto now one win away from a World Series, first World Series since 1993. As the Blue Jays, not many people saw this one coming, myself included. My hand is up on this one. I thought this was Dodgers in four, Dodgers in five. Well, how about Blue Jays in six or seven? I think that's where we're headed. I don't think Toronto is going to give up this lead. I do believe whether they win it Friday night or Saturday night, they will be your 2025 World Series champion. 20 minutes from now, we'll break down the rest of the NFL awards. If you missed it on Wednesday's show, I talked about MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. Well, today, we're doing Coach of the Year, both rookies, and Comeback Player of the Year. And this week, I was in the lab, man. And there are a few bets that need to be placed ahead of week 9 in the NFL. One of them in Coach of the Year, one of them in Offensive Rookie of the Year, and one of them in Defensive Rookie of the Year. So stick around for that coming up in the next segment. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what's going on? How we doing here on this Thursday?
Doing good, Femi. Interesting that you got a defensive rookie here. I know we've been wait and see on that pretty much all season. I'm in. I got to see who this is.
You know what? It's always like one of the funnier award markets every single year. Like the year that Will Anderson won it, I literally bet him. It was Christmas Eve. He was 25-1 before they played the Tennessee Titans. Ended up having 3 sacks in the game. Jalen Carter had kind of trailed off because he was the big favorite the whole season, but then like trailed off and the Eagles defense started to suck. That was the year where they collapsed after starting the year 10-1. And then like within like 2 weeks, it's like, oh yeah, it's going to be Will Anderson. So like this is an award mark where you want to be patient. And we've been patient as we've reached this midway point. But now I do believe it is the time to strike. So we will reveal that in about 15 minutes. But for now, let's get to the top stories that we have here on this Thursday. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, we are kicking off week 9 in the NFL tonight. And that's always the saddest week of the NFL season because that means we're more than halfway through the season when this week is completed. It's rough. It's rough for us football junkies. But tonight we've got Lamar Jackson back in action. He is actually going to play. He's not just going to be a fake full participant. The Baltimore Ravens are in Miami to take on the Dolphins. Ravens are a 7.5-point favorite. Total points set at 51.5. Femi, how are you and others making this legendary over at BetMGM?
I see what you did there. It's a make it legendary Thursday. Once again, here we go. On paper, a matchup with a team that's 2-5 versus a team that's 2-6 would be terrible. And it's like, why would I ever want to watch this? Like, I'm going to spend my night doing something else. But I actually love this game because this game has real deal stakes. And I thought Lamar Jackson did a great job of outlining this earlier in the week by saying, hey, like, this is do or die for us. Yeah, we won. We're 2-5. We beat the Bears last Sunday, but we can't let the foot off the gas. They got themselves into such a hole that, like, these are playoff games in October for the Baltimore Ravens. So I can't wait to see how they handle this game because they're much healthier now. Like, the defense is back to being healthy. The offensive line, Ronnie Stanley's healthy. The biggest one, Lamar Jackson, of course, is healthy. He's not going to be on the scout team tonight. He will be the QB1 for the Baltimore Ravens. Like, this is a big game for Baltimore, which makes this a really intriguing game, especially since the fact that Miami last Sunday looked like the 72 Dolphins against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I think that has a lot to do with Atlanta, if not all to do with the Atlanta Falcons, but still, at least Miami got off the canvas a little bit. Maybe they're thinking they could save their season with a win in primetime over a team that is thought of as a Super Bowl contender. So this is a really good game in terms of the stakes. Now, how I'm looking to bet this one, I agree with the betting market that Baltimore should be a more than a touchdown favorite, and that's where we stand right now. You can maybe argue, should they be 8.5? Maybe you think they should be 9, whatever. I think you can do all that argument, but it's not a massive difference, 7.5 to like 8.5, whatever. Like, the game rarely lands on 8, even though it is somewhat of a key-ish kind of a number, but not as key as 3, 6, 7, etc. But to me, the Ravens, and I don't think you want to go crazy with this one, but I do think you want to kind of open up a couple of teasers heading into the weekend. That's how I want to bet this game. Not laying the 7.5. I would never take the 7.5. I want to use the Ravens in the teaser. And I think there's a number of games that you can tease the Ravens in. You could tease them with the New York Giants, get them up to 8.5. You could tease them with the Detroit Lions, get the Lions down to 2.5. You could tease them with the Broncos, which is my favorite one, getting Baltimore down to 1.5, Denver up to 7.5 against Houston. You can even tease them with the Chargers based on how people are betting that game. The Chargers now down to 8.5 against Tennessee at a couple of sports books. There are so many options where you could use the Ravens as that anchor. Open up a couple of them tonight, and then hopefully the Ravens win by at least 2, and you've got some nice tickets heading into the weekend. That is how I will be betting tonight's Thursday night football game. As for what everyone else is doing, 73% of the bets, 86% of the handle is on the Ravens laying 7.5. 61% of bets, 92% of the handle is on over 51.5. Like, you look at these defenses, Ravens defense, maybe they made some improvements against Chicago, but who knows? Let's see, wait and see on that one. But definitely Miami's defense, you can run all over them. And guess what? Derrick Henry is on South Beach right now. Like, that's not a good situation for Miami. So the over has been getting bet. 74% of the bets are on Dolphins money line at plus 350. 58% of the handle, though, is on the Ravens money line at minus 450. As for the popular player props, Derrick Henry, under 18.5 rushing attempts, that's the fifth most popular. Fourth most popular, Devon Achane, under 59.5 rushing yards. Third most popular, Keaton Mitchell, over 10.5 rushing yards. Second most popular, Jaylen Waddle, over 62.5 receiving yards. And the most popular player prop over at BetMGM, where we look to make it legendary, Devon Achane, under 13.5 rushing attempts. I'm assuming that's just people thinking that Miami's going to be down in the second half, so they're not going to be able to just run the football like they were last week against the Atlanta Falcons. As for the most popular anytime TD score, it's the South Florida native, Lamar Jackson, plus 170 as your most popular anytime touchdown scorer. I will have first TD score bets at 640 with Femi's Island, but for me, it's Ravens teasers tied to a couple of games heading into this weekend as we look for Baltimore to be that anchor leg and setting up nicely for Sunday. Bill, hit me with the next story.
Femi, let's switch over and do a little college football because Texas quarterback Arch Manning is still in concussion protocol, making his status up in the air for this Saturday's game against the ninth-ranked Vanderbilt Commodores. Femi, if Arch can't go, it's going to be Matthew Caldwell, who threw that game-winning touchdown last week, under center for the Longhorns. This is going to be a noon kick on ABC. Texas currently -3 over at BetMGM.
Yeah, this is a really, really fascinating betting market because I think for most people who've been watching the season and not dabbling into the betting streets or whatever, just watch it as a college football fan, I think a lot of people are thinking to themselves, wow, how is Vanderbilt an underdog? They're the better team. I mean, that's not how betting works. it's not. And maybe on Saturday, Vanderbilt proves that they're the better team, but heading into the game, Texas, like, the power ratings are rather equal, and you factor in the home field advantage. This is how you get to Texas being a 2.5 and maybe even 3-point favorite, as I'm seeing at some sports books across the country. There are threes now that are populating. If you like Texas, like, now is the time to bet those 2.5s because they are going away quickly. As for how I look at this game, like, if Arch Manning is out there, I don't really have much interest just because, and this is not like shade towards Arch, because, like, I don't think Arch is that good, but like, the most important part of this is that Arch has been limited in practice. Like, I don't want to be backing Arch Manning when, like, oh, like, what'd you do in practice this week? Oh, I kind of, like, you know, did some individual stuff and, like, wasn't able to do, like, the full allotment of reps and all that to get ready for the game. That doesn't seem like a great situation to me. So I actually would prefer that the backup quarterback, Matthew Caldwell, who did throw a touchdown in overtime, by the way, I would prefer that Matthew Caldwell be the quarterback to where maybe people are betting against Texas because, oh, Arch is out. Let me bet Vandy. And maybe we get, like, Texas at 1.5, Texas 2 in that range. And I would love Texas in that spot because I do think Texas is going to win this game. Everyone's got Pavia fever. He's saying he should be the Heisman. Everyone loves Vandy and the story and Clark Lee. And it's all been great. But this is now a third consecutive game where they're going up against a big boy opponent. Vanderbilt is not used to that with expectations. Expectations are here. They're now a playoff contending team. How do they handle that on the road against a Longhorn squad that needs to win the game to keep their CFP hopes alive? I don't think it's going to work out for the Commodores. Give me Texas. I have not placed this bet yet. I want to do some more research to see, hey, is Arch Manning going to play? Or if he gets ruled out, maybe we get a better number. But I will have a Texas ticket in pocket Saturday afternoon. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
All right, Femi, this is an interesting story here. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry spoke about the open coaching position at LSU and said that the LSU AD, that's Scott Woodward, he would not be hiring the next head coach. The quote from Jeff Landry is, "We are not going down a failed path." Landry said that LSU's board of supervisors would form a committee, and that committee would find the next coach. They are going to take that decision away from Woodward, who, of course, hired Brian Kelly. Also of note, the board's chairman, Scott Ballard, was asked about this by the media, and he said he was completely unaware of that plan. So the board doesn't know they're doing this. Jeff Landry said this is happening. So, Femi, interesting the governor's talking about this at all, and if the AD isn't going to be hiring the football coach, I wonder why the AD is even employed.
It's a great question, isn't it? Like Jeff Landry, or excuse me, Governor Landry is just saying like, hey, like, look, I am the captain now. Like he's just saying, I'm taking over this bad boy. That's what Governor Landry is doing. Like, and this, in my opinion, is the best job in the country. You go to LSU, you win national titles. Unless your name is Brian Kelly, which is why we're having this conversation to begin with. But like Nick Saban, you saw Les Miles, Ed Orgeron. Like, does anyone really think Ed Orgeron's a great coach? Like, let's be for real. No, he's a good recruiter, and he got a bunch of talent because there's a bunch of great football players hanging out in Louisiana, in Texas, and in down south in general. Like, it's a great, great job. But now it seems chaotic. This is the issue in college sports. And because they don't have a university president, this opens things up for all sorts of shenanigans. Well, hey, shenanigans are here, as you got the governor who's telling the board of supervisors that they're going to be a part of the hiring process, and someone on the board of supervisors saying, that's the first I heard of it. Like this does not seem like a good situation. And the big thing to me that's not really grabbing the headlines, but I do think it is the more underrated aspect of this story, is the coaching contracts. Because that's what Governor Landry wants to change. He does not want these coach-friendly contracts to where if they were fired, they get this massive buyout. But unfortunately, Governor Landry, what that's going to prevent you from doing is hiring an attractive coaching candidate. Because any coach worth a damn, any coach who has options, is not going to be like, yeah, I'll let you just write the contract and I'll sign wherever. No, do you think Jimmy Sexton, who represents like 90% of these college football coaches, you think he's going to sign up for these like school-friendly contracts? No way in hell is that happening. So what does that do to the job market for LSU, the job search? Like, who are they going to hire? Is Lane Kiffin signing up for that? I doubt it. I feel like Lane Kiffin would rather go to Florida if this is how the governor of Louisiana is talking. Like, who's coming down? Like, are you going to go call Jimbo? That's what got Governor Landry mad in the first place, because Scott Woodward hired Jimbo back at Texas A&M. Like, I don't know what LSU is going to do. They don't have a president. It looks like they don't have an AD now that Scott Woodward's been neutered in terms of his decision-making process. But yeah, the whole thing seems chaotic. And I think LSU is going to look back and say, you know what? What in the world went down with the governor making the decision and everyone else just having to go along with it? That's not great for the football program. It's not great for the athletic program as a whole. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Little more college football here, Femi. Matt Rhule looks like he is not leaving Nebraska. There's been plenty of rumors, of course, that Rhule could be one of the key targets for the open position at Penn State. But today he signs a 2-year extension, keeping him a Cornhusker through 2032. That new extension also increases his buyout from $5 million to $15 million. So, Femi, it looks like Penn State will be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, that's the big one with this. I thought Matt Rhule was going to Penn State. It seemed like that's what everybody was saying. Like, hey, like, he's a Penn State guy. They have an opening. Here's Matt Rhule. But to me, it looks like Matt Rhule staying in Lincoln for at least the next couple of years. Now, like, we can work around these buyouts, but this year in particular, that's not happening. I don't think anyone's going to want to pay that $15 million on top of having to pay Matt Rhule a new contract. And on the positive, great for Nebraska, because Matt Rhule is choosing Nebraska over Penn State, which doesn't say a lot of great things about Penn State, does it? Someone who went there and it's like, I'm good, actually. I'm going to stick here in Lincoln, Nebraska. No shade to Lincoln, but, like, I mean, come on. Like, that is a big win for Nebraska that they have Matt Rhule committed to them. For Penn State, who are they going to hire? I mean, Mike Elko's name's been thrown around because he went to Penn. He's a Jersey guy. Clark Lee at Vandy, he's a hot name based on what Vandy's been doing the last couple of years. Matt Campbell, does that get anyone excited? That feels like the leftovers. Manny Diaz, who was the DC there before he now took the job over, or was the DC at Miami, rather. He was a DC at Penn State as well for a little bit. Like I don't think any of this is really attractive to anyone. And for me with Penn State, I don't know where they go from here outside of maybe just sending a godfather offer to Mike Elko. But if you're Mike Elko, why would you leave A&M? A&M got all the money. Like, they're going to pay him probably at the end of this season when they go to the CFP. So I'm curious to see what Penn State does. But this is a big domino in that coaching search. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break.
Maybe a couple NBA notes from last night. Austin Reeves, the game winner, despite no LeBron and no Luka for the Lakers over the T-Wolves. And Trae Young injures his knee in the Hawks 117-112 win over the Nets, awaiting the result of an MRI. But Quinn Snyder says it is not his ACL.
Yeah, that's a good thing for Trae Young. Obviously, like, ACL means he's done for the year. So we'll wait for that news to come out probably at some point this afternoon. But for Austin Reeves and the Lakers, like, Reeves has taken a step forward. And he looks like a legitimate, like, all NBA caliber player. Now, what does that mean for the Lakers this year? I still don't think they're a contender, because my big thing with LA is that their top three guys are terrible defenders, and you cannot win the title if that's the case. We break down NFL awards next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.